What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. How have things been?
Doing good. Can't
Yeah.
complain. Busy as ever, but can't complain.
Right. That's good. Good. Busy and productive, I'm sure.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, things have been good. Getting some momentum going, and training's good. And I took the week off work, so I've been spending some time in the wood shop building some stuff. So it's been cool.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
What's your
What are
favorite? Yeah, go for it. I was about to say what you were about to say, Mats.
I was going to say, what's your favorite part about the experience so far, Mike?
Favorite part about the experience so far? It's definitely got to be the coach, keeping me accountable and being there, you know?
It's not 'cause I'm real close to the camera, Mike.
No, the whole package, just the interface with the training and how everything's laid out. It's easy to use, and yeah, really everything's just been a good experience so far.
Awesome, brother. So the
Yeah.
coach and the simplicity. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What's your
Oops.
favorite part about your stuff?
Oh man. I feel like everything serves a purpose and there's value in it all. There's value in all of it. My favorite part, I'm just like super into diagnostics. So I love seeing data. In this moment, if you had asked me, yesterday or a month before, maybe I'd give you a different answer. But I like going through genetics and I like going through functional labs.
Cool. That's the next thing I actually was kind of interested in, was getting some labs done. And I don't know if there's anybody here local in the GTA that would be worth seeing for blood stuff, and kind
Okay.
of pair it up with the genetics and go from there, you know?
Yeah, I'll see if we can recommend anyone. Otherwise, you can do them in-house with us as well. I know you and I spoke about that. Most of the time we can have Greg ship you what you need to do and you can do it from the comfort of your home.
Yeah.
Like I did a 3-day stool test with him, and for example, you definitely want to do from the comfort of your home because you're playing with your own poop.
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, I'll reach out to you separate to the call and we can kind of go through that. The key thing with that though is that your genetics is like your full genetic potential, your genetic strengths, your weaknesses, like everything that you just went through, right?
Right.
But your functional labs is a snapshot of like this moment right now, what's happening internally on a microscopic molecular perspective, right? So one is like a snapshot of you right now in this moment. The other one is not a snapshot of you in this moment. It's like your cheat codes for the optimization of your health, wellness, and recovery.
Getting those two kind of on the same
So
plane, right?
well, if you do both by default, you understand like your full potential, but then you also understand exactly where you are right now. So you're gonna have clarity on the gap. And then usually we like mold or intertwine your personal goals because not everybody wants to like get to their full genetic potential. Like the higher that you want to get to your potential in general with your health, the more sacrifice that's required. So if you have guilty pleasures, if you have vices, like forget it, man. If you want to hit your full potential, you got to get rid of all that. So no date nights, no occasional drinks, no cheesecake, no, like you got to give it all up. I'll pass it back to Andrew.
No, tell it how it is. So, good deal. Eric, Paul, John, what's going on, guys? Good to see you. John, you got the fancy camera track, and I always every time I see it going, I'm like paying attention to it.
I just walked in for my workout and I have to prepare dinner. I won't, because I'm gonna have to leave for work in the middle of this.
Sure.
So I'm doing food prep.
Gotcha. Yeah, good to see you. Sweet. I'll probably give it like another minute and then we can go into it. It's not a super long presentation or anything like that. Cool. Sounds good, Mats. But thankfully, I mean, I know pretty much everyone on the screen, so definitely might twist your guys' arm for participation and stuff like that. But I know that like the name of the call for this week, some relevant stuff. Some of us maybe more than others, but everybody on the screen has been injured at one point or another. Maybe we're currently navigating something, or maybe there's sometimes like a limiting belief or just something mentally as far as performance or maybe like what Mats was kind of saying, just being a little bit shy of possibly your full potential, even in the gym. Like if it comes to lifting a certain weight, doing a certain exercise. Rob's not currently on the call, but he put a question in the chat yesterday when he was talking about he's out of Australia. So I might cut him some slack. I think it might be pretty early for him. But I don't know if any of you guys saw it in the group talking essentially about John saw it. Cool. Talking about kind of the comparison between real pain during an injury and discomfort during a working set or a training set, which is valid, right? And he's got a history of, he's a tall fellow like me. And when I first started with him, shoot, I don't even know how long I've been working with him now. Good stretch of time, but came in, had a history of having back problems and stuff like that. And so that was definitely something like from my very first conversation with him of like, big concern and maybe even a limiting belief as far as being able to back squat heavy or deadlift heavy, stuff like that, right? So I'm going to take a quick second actually even, and I want to actually talk about if there's any current Eric, I know that we've got some stuff that we're navigating injury-wise, right? But I'd love to even have like a couple of examples so that while I'm going through the few slides that we have, we can kind of I'm going to go through the slides completely and then we'll kind of backtrack and we'll revisit and kind of talk about some stuff because like when it comes to the mindset stuff and even from the weekly check-ins and the 10 pillars and everything else, like when we're rating and scaling that stuff, like if we truly want to talk about mindset and grow and get better and more resilient, you got to be willing to talk about it. Like it's not just necessarily something that you read, although there's probably stuff you could read. But for me, the most growth is asking the uncomfortable question or talking about the thing that's, maybe on your mind. Maybe you're hesitant to bring it up. But yeah, I'll encourage you guys to share, right? So, and I'll probably even pull myself in, for example, because I've got a long history of injuries. So I'll be able to bring in some examples with that as well. So I'm gonna pause for a quick second. You guys feel free to either come off mute or type anything in the chat. John, I know that you since me more recently on some of the calls, I know that there's been like some shoulder history and kind of progressions to that, but anybody that wants to kind of start first. Whether
On
if
that
it's
shoulder note, a little bit of shoulder pain, just like on the anterior side, right? A little bit when I'm pressing, but nothing substantial. If I really pay attention to what I'm working out, I can kind of zero in on it and keep it in a range where it doesn't hurt, right?
cool. Yeah. And there's going to be a scale to all of this, right? So like for the sake of the slides and presentation and stuff, it won't come as a surprise to you guys. I've obviously like trained smart, exercise selection and everything else. So there's a difference mentally between a shoulder injury where you purely cannot move your shoulder and almost like this feeling of helplessness, like I'm screwed no matter what. That is a different headspace as it relates to training than, kind of the example that you shared, Mike, of, if I really pay attention to it, if I put my arm in a certain position and do a particular exercise, there's no pain. So there's positives to that, right? But we do want to try to be conscious and dissect every component of movement, right? Like this is not new information for you guys where it's like all of us want to be athletes when we're older. And so what is that going to take and how narrow of a focus do each of us particularly need depending on the current chapter or state of life, training, et cetera, right? So cool. Eric, you looked like you were about to unmute, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know the kind of the injuries that I've been going through lately, but I can kind of share them if you want me to. I honestly the my hand and my tennis elbow have been getting better, so I do feel like there's light at the end of the tunnel there. And going back to the shoulder thing, I kind of had a similar issue for a while, and you changed up a few things that I was doing, and that's like gone away completely. I have zero shoulder pain right now, knock on some wood. So yeah, just kind of going through all that, and then the hernia situation, but that's a longer term one.
Sure. Yeah. And again, I'm happy to use myself as example or kind of tie things back and in include you as we're kind of talking about stuff. But yeah. And I think that all of you, maybe to some extent, like Eric's been on quite a few of the calls, Mike, John, I think you guys are at least maybe a little bit familiar with each other, but you don't know Eric as well as I do. He definitely like he has the most positive temperament just about coming back to the mindset while navigating injuries of being smart, not being irrational, not trying to put a square peg through a round hole, so to speak, right? But taking it for what it is and focusing on the task at hand and kind of resetting the expectation for yourself. And like the biggest priority during an injury is recovery, right? Like you want to be able to heal as fast as you can, realistically. It's going to be whole scale of different injuries, but realistically, what can we do based on our time, based on our budget, based on our lifestyle that can really wring out the towel with as much opportunity to optimize your recovery to get clear of injury, right? Cool. Let's see. If you guys are good with it, then I will plan to I'll actually share this very quickly and probably possibly tie this in also alongside with a couple of the slides. And then I do want to continue to kind of have the conversation about mindset, limiting beliefs, anything that's coming up in regards to training. It can be broad, it can be super specific, whatever it is, right? So some of you might know, and this is not to pat myself on the back by any means, but came from a super small town, played football, ended up playing Division I football. But before that, my senior year of high school, I had a super bad leg injury. So I had a handful of offers, and I verbally committed to Fresno State to go play football. And I think like a week later, played a game, got hit by my own teammate, shattered my fibula, tore all the ligaments in my ankle, dislocated my ankle. And kind of immediately in that moment, everything to do with my ego, my identity, my capability, all of it felt like it just got erased, right? So mentally, it was basically just pure frustration. So there's gratitude in the fact of like how far I've come from then until now. And then for each of us, when it comes to, man, when you have some bad injuries, when you have to shower with a cast on and a garbage bag over your cast, or if you have to try to get in and out of a car with crutches, like it reminds you very quickly of things to be grateful for, right? So I do. It's why I always encourage the gratitude stuff. It's not for when it's all sunshine, but it's because there, and you won't see it, but there is absolutely a chemical response to being able to recover quicker because you're able to navigate your own headspace and manage cortisol effectively for yourself, right? Like if I purely in that moment, if all I did, again, senior year, felt like I was just kind of top of the world in a small town type of thing, and then felt like I just got completely knocked off the totem pole, right? But whether if it was by design or coincidence, all I focused on, like when you're younger, you definitely have the luxury of, you don't have the stress of rent and all the things which we can acknowledge, right? So it you know, life gets a little bit more challenging as you become a full adult. But yeah, navigating that was my focus was purely, okay, what do I need to do to get ready to play football again? Like that was it. I was not ruminating or sulking or feeling bad for myself. It just simply was what it was. PRP and stem cells was not even a thought or a conversation, and peptides and all these other things that are now available that are continuing to progress, being able to recover, which is great, right? But in that time, it was just like a pure focus on what's next. And so for us in our chapters of life, whatever it is, you know what I mean? That's got to be the focus. And where the caveat comes in slightly, if you break a bone and then you have a powerlifting competition, priorities got to change until that fully heals, right? But depending on the severity of the injury, you need to be smart, you need to adjust your training, and you need to reset your expectation. And it has to be centered around being able to optimize recovery first. Optimize recovery, manage your headspace. We're all emotional creatures. Stuff annoys me, stuff annoys you guys. If somebody slams on their brakes in front of me, I'm going to have a reaction, right? But it's up to us, purely. And like, if you really focus on that, like it'll improve your ability to recover. I know it sounds small, but it's true, right? I'll pause for a quick second. I don't think you guys have questions kind of related to that. I think everyone's just kind of agreeing so far. There's one thing really specifically that I'll share in the slides here in just a moment, but I don't love feeling like I'm the only one talking all the time, right? So whether if it's a thumbs up or a question or anything right now, I just want to give you guys a second. If not, I'll move on. John, good. You getting your calories in, meal plan in?
Yeah, I'm gonna fall a little short today, 'cause, but I'll be fine. I'm cutting anyway.
Cool. Okay.
When you're talking about my shoulder injury, I'm still doing unilateral stuff to make sure that I'm not disguising the deficit in strength I have on my left side, but things are coming along really well. And Greg was the one that encouraged me that after the surgery to start doing unilateral stuff on the non-surgical stuff, starting a few weeks after the surgery.
Yeah. And you feel like recovery's gone kind of as well as it could have?
I don't think I could be in a better spot.
Good. Good. Sweet. Okay. Well, if we're good then I'll go ahead and share. And chances are, is every time I get on these calls, I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna see you guys when I enter the presentation or not, but feel free to come off mute or whatever it is, right? The slides are really not going to be that long. I would rather more have conversation, but there's just a couple things that I'll drive home, right? So if I can bring this up here. There we go. I still got you guys too. Sweet. You guys see my screen okay? Kind of cheated and went ahead here. Okay. Mastering your mindset, training smarter through injury. So, the obvious first thing that, quick side note, not so much on this one, but on one of the future slides, it kind of looks like Gavin. And I don't know if that was by design or not, but I just thought that was kind of funny. So the first thing, injury's got to occur, right? So John, if it's your shoulder, Eric, whatever it is, if it's your hand, elbow, etc. Paul, I know that, you know, your hip possibly sometimes kind of flares up or something like that. So whatever it is, injury's got to occur first, right? So based on the injury, immediately understanding the severity and trying to pinpoint a timeline for recovery. What's realistic? What's kind of the expectation? And then kind of setting your game plan around that, right? So if you break a bone pretty quickly, and obviously it's going to take a little bit more time, right? And I want to say at the front of this presentation, I am not a doctor by any means. There are a significant amount of very good doctors and everything else. The one thing that I will say is nine times out of 10, I'm being careful when I say this, their job, not always, and not every doctor, but most doctors, 9 out of 10 times, it's their job to tell you no, it's their job to tell you to slow down. And typically, they encourage on the side of surgery if it requires surgery and all those things. I'm bringing it up to be transparent. Because it really is something that, like, that's where the homework starts, right? The positive thing is you guys all have us and this whole community to kind of base things off of and get additional information to make your decisions, depending on how bad you're hurt and what's going on. Nobody wants to have surgery if they don't need it, right? The additional thing with that, and something that I heard a while ago, and I can't remember who said it, so I can't give them credit, but something that made a lot of sense, background in football. So it's like you kind of just get conditioned to always being in pain, which is not a positive, right? It was really when I kind of stopped playing football and started being even more mindful of, how my body performs and how it feels and self-auditing mobility and my athletic ability still and strength and everything else. But, if you know for sure that you're not going to have surgery, and I won't say that this is all the time, but most of the time, if you know that you're not going to have any type of intervention like that, most of the time there's no need for images, right? Unless it's something that's severe and very obvious. You know what I mean? So if you feel something pop, you feel something tear, you know something breaks, then it's pretty obvious you're probably going to go that route and have to navigate it as so. If we're in the case like with Mike and we're experiencing maybe a little bit of shoulder pain in the front of the shoulder, but if we adjust something specifically and it kind of completely goes away, no need, right? We can still train effectively. We can manage our time. We can adjust. Okay. And then there's still obviously kind of the spectrum of as things kind of go on and continue, and rather than kind of make up injuries the whole time, I'd prefer to tie it back to you guys. So once the slides are done, we can do that if we want. But understand the prognosis, do your homework, talk to us, talk to your coach, get a realistic timeline, and then prioritize healing, prioritize recovery. When, if you're someone that tying it into mindset, and we're all emotional creatures, if you're someone that gets highly affected by, or maybe you have a tough time regulating emotion with certain things, and you have a tendency to maybe get aggravated or not like physically aggressive, but like aggressive in the sense of like really angry or frustrated at the fact that you like stubbed your toe or jammed your finger or like whatever the thing is, that's definitely an opportunity to not sweat the small stuff, because literally, you're going to make dumber decisions when you're angry, right? So you feel something kind of strain, and then you get upset, and then you do an extra two sets, and then you make something potentially worse, right? So don't aggravate an injury, don't worsen it. So that comes down to at the moment of the injury, that's when you're going to be at the height of whatever the feelings are, kind of in that moment, shock possibly, depending on what's happening, and then making your next decision, right? So be smart. Like the closer to when the actual injury itself happened, be smart, be efficient, and don't make it worse. Then the next one here, more specifically bringing it into the mindset stuff, talking about, and there's no one person really to kind of coin this frustration cycle to give them credit, but that's what this next kind of diagram is here. So starting on the far left, like this frustration cycle. So the injury occurs, this feeling of a loss of control, shock, fear. For me, like when I was talking about football, ego completely wiped away, going from feeling like you're kind of like big tough guy and then completely laid up for months on end, like having to relearn how to walk and go through all the things. And it's nobody would ever choose to put themselves in scenarios like that. But the irony that I kind of laugh about sometimes is for all of us, typically the time that we learn the most about our body is when an injury happens a lot of the time, right? You're like, okay, don't put myself in that position, or noted for next time, or whatever the thing is, right? So injury occurs, this feeling and this loss of control kind of kicks in, this heightened level of emotion, that's going to be the first thing that happens in that moment, right? Following that, additional stress, natural cortisol release, potentially fatigue kicking in, inflammation for sure, swelling, whatever it is based on the injury, right? And then following that, you kind of enter this loop. But before the loop, this feeling of having low motivation, and it's not even necessarily that you're thinking about the wrong thing. So if someone's goal is strength and they've been very disciplined, they're going to the gym, they feel like they've created a lot of momentum, they feel like they're getting stronger, and something pops or something happens, and it feels like you kind of get completely knocked off the horse, right? It is very natural to be frustrated, angry, upset in that moment, but being it, there is absolutely a spectrum of people who are able to, in that moment, control their emotions the best that they possibly can, cool it, and then make a smart, educated decision. And then you have to reset the expectation of what's currently happening, right? And you will go on like your own journey of being able to drive and focus on gratitude for the things that you are capable of, right? So again, I could fill up this entire call of the amount of injuries that I've had, broken wrists, broken legs, different things. And there is like this scale to it. So it's how you frame it in your mind, right? So whatever it is, like you can't rewind time. So if you break something, if something gets hurt, the only thing that you need to be then focusing on is, okay, can I continue to move? Can I continue to train? And if I can, that is an amazing thing. That needs to be my focus, and then revise the training plan and continue accordingly, right? It's not maybe like this golden answer that everybody wants to hear, but that's the reality, right? And the difference between people that are very impressive in the gym and maybe some people that still feel like they might be shy of that potential or something like that. Some of that comes down to mindset. Sure, circumstance for some things, but some of it's definitely mindset. Two twins get injured, both of them aren't recovering at the same rate. What's happening between your ears, right? So we're all responsible. If you get hurt, that's when it kicks in. Lean on your coach, ask questions, revise what's going on so that you don't enter this loop here, right? So low motivation and possibly avoiding training might happen or kick in. You might really love training chest all the time, and then something happens to your wrist or something where it's just kind of aggravating, right? If it's possible at all, see if you can modify or find a different way, use a machine versus dumbbells or vice versa. I tore my labrum playing my senior year at UNLV, and my entire training plan, barbells went out the window. I did everything with dumbbells because Mike, I had to change the position of where I was pressing from, and I was able to press with no pain, right? So I couldn't do it with the barbell, so I had to find another alternative. But that loop that some people will get in and stay in is like this feeling of hopelessness and limiting beliefs of I can't squat 225 now, I can't bench press 225 now, I can't press the 60-pound dumbbells, I can't do the box jump. And if that is the story that you continue to tell yourself, it's just you're going to exist in that vacuum, and it's going to slow down your recovery, and ultimately you're just going to keep your hand on the stove for longer, right? So lean on your coach. Chances are I'll come back to things talking about breaking the cycle, and when I unshare my screen and we talk further still about breaking the cycle, but obvious things related to your mindset, reframing your thoughts. I've got no problem throwing myself under the bus. I'm somebody that naturally will ruminate on things. Like I'm a very deep thinker, and that comes as a double-edged sword. I can sit there and focus on things that are amazing, or I can sit there and focus on injuries. Like I got lucky in a lot of ways with that leg injury, but I've had other injuries where it feels like I'm trying to really push my level of potential to the fullest capability. Like that injury happened, lost all my offers. I told you guys I was like purely, I just had like a singular focus and whatever it took to move to the next thing. I also had a lot of people in my small town that kind of wrote me off after that. They're like, oh, he's not going to play Division I. Ended up walking on, getting a scholarship and being able to squat over 500 pounds. So just don't listen to them, right? So there is the reality of your current circumstance in that moment and that snapshot of time. And then it's our job as coaches to still kind of lead the way, show the path and continue to share like the current expectation, but progression is still very much happening is going to be the thing, right? So Ben has actually been probably one of the bit, this won't come as a surprise, one of the greatest examples for me as it relates to what he says is psychological resilience and being able to kick yourself out of that this cycle here, kind of this window here of hopelessness or limiting beliefs or kind of staying of short of your potential, right? But real quick, just to touch on a few other things here. Breath work, nutrition. For me too, like I have a rule now for myself. I can't remember who this was. It might have actually been you, Mike, when I said if I sleep less than 6 hours, my rule is I don't get to train. So I focus on other things. And that's how I prioritize and allocate the rest of my day. Same thing would exist if I have an injury. If I get banged up and if it's something that's smaller and maybe I need a couple of weeks to recover, or if it's a more significant injury, immediately the other component is I am making sure that I'm not missing the mark with my nutrition at all. That is, you get the gift of time back. You get the annoyance of an injury, but you get the gift of time back a little bit, right? So if someone was training 90 minutes, but maybe you can still train, you might be able to modify some stuff. Eric, we're currently kind of in that scenario where we're modifying some exercises and still being able to train pain-free. That's the audit, right? Can you do it pain-free? If so, continue. If there's things that are coming up, continue to adjust, right? But if someone has a significant injury, then I look at it as nature's way of, okay, there's other things in my life that I maybe either haven't been giving enough attention to, or now I have the opportunity to do that. So that's another way of being able to positively reframe my thoughts and focus on possibly these one or two other things that I was condensing down, or maybe I was spending a little bit less time on. So that's another way to think about it. The other obvious thing, too, with most injuries, movement starts to slow down often, not always. And if it's a leg injury, being able to walk, get outside, move, that has a component to regulating your mood, right? So you need to be conscious of that and then just kind of smile and accept the challenge and know that you might be a little bit more prone to being agitated, but choose otherwise, right? And that comes from you have to get out of this tail end cycle here with the limiting beliefs and thoughts of I'm injured, I'm using crutches, this is annoying, frustrating, whatever it is. And it's like, I'm capable of X, Y, and Z. That's what I'm going to do right now and pick the focal point and that's it, right? And again, bringing it back to Eric. Eric has done an awesome job of not sulking, not feeling bad for himself. Like there's been a handful of different things of what probably feels like not fully in his control, but he's fully taken control of his scenario and is proactive in managing his recovery and keeping a healthy mindset and then focusing on the next thing, right? So he's a good example. Okay. This was the slide that looks like Gav a little bit. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. But number three here, revise your plan. I talked about this some already. So when I first started training and lifting, safety squat bars weren't ever really even like a thing, right? And I know that you guys have been on other calls where we're talking about using different pieces of kit and machines and everything else and equipment, but that is something else that, depending on your specific injury, that's something. My kids just got home, so it might be loud in the background. Apologies. That is something else that you can be able to include. So if you have an upper body injury, belt squat, safety squat bar, different machines. Eric, we're currently in a circumstance where we're using a little bit more machines so that we can stabilize a little bit more and isolate certain muscles. Most of the time, it's going to be a better bet to be able to do that, to include machines, isolate particular muscles. I coached CrossFit for quite a while, and there was a guy that I used to train with, super fit, strong, everything else. I saw him pop his Achilles right in front of me doing box jumps. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that in person, but it's pretty gnarly looking. So, which is why if I program calves for you guys, I'm a little bit more reserved on the volume and focus on the tempo. But I mean, he took no time to, he was in a boot and he was on an assault bike and he was able to post his leg up on one side and he was able to still get super high heart rate, HIIT style training. And then he was doing strict movements, right? Heavy seated dumbbells and not including anything related to his leg. So it showed me a really good example of being able to, you can have a significant injury. And some people might argue about, like, well, you shouldn't be training that hard because you might increase the risk of injury. Sure, whatever the thing is, right? But in that circumstance, it showed me that you can experience what is and what feels like a significant roadblock and continue to make progress, right? So I believe that fully, regardless of what the injury is, right? So, but just to touch on a couple more things here, adjust your goals accordingly. So I shared earlier, kind of having that focal point of, and if it's conflicting, using that powerlifting competition as an example. But if for anybody, I mean, it might not be anybody specific on this call at this moment, right? But if someone watching the recording, if fat loss is currently a particular goal, that's still fully within your control, even without training. Like, yes, obviously train if we can train, but that goes back to my example of, okay, now I'm laser focused on being dialed in with my nutrition and then being smart, and I will expose myself to things that I have the ability to do as far as training, right? And it all still ties back to optimizing your recovery. So looking at the 16-hour audit, and if we're in a circumstance where training's completely off the board and you get an hour and a half, whatever it is back, awesome. How are you going to reallocate your time to include more recovery in your day and to be super dialed in with your nutrition? Right. And if you're already doing that, then great. So it's focusing on, chances are it's whatever you have a natural tendency to avoid is where the most progress is going to lie. Flip that rock over and you're normally going to find progress faster. Right. But what I was saying before, PRP and stem cells and peptides, that wasn't a thing. And now it is. So for people that have the ability and the access, awesome. And people definitely undervalue and kind of take for granted just the significance of really optimal sleep, really dialed in nutrition. And this is something that it's not, you never ultimately get there. It's a continual pursuit, which is mastering your mindset, right? Understand yourself as an individual. What are the things that set you off? Who are the people that set you off? If you have the ability to change your environment, awesome. And if you're in circumstances where you can't, that's where your sets and reps come in now. right? That's the only way you get better at it. So it's not something that we would always want to choose, but that's how you have to reframe it. Like our community and Ben and kind of everything to do with muscle intelligence, at least for me, intelligent, effective training and mindset is like very much what comes to mind in men's health, right? But and it's much more than those things. But for me, like mindset is still like a significant one. And a lot of you guys are my guys specifically, but even for everybody, it's like you got to be willing to talk about the stuff, and it can feel small or insignificant or whatever the thing is, but you got to be willing to talk about it to improve on it when it comes to the mindset stuff. You know, seeing other people as an example, and stoicism is cool. Stoicism is awesome. I feel like the word sometimes is overused, but like true stoic individuals, I think we all aspire to be stoic, right? Like resilient people that don't get affected by stuff and are clear and confident on what we need to do. And having those conversations, man, like, and seeing it in person is, to me, you're not stoic talking about it over the internet. You know what I mean? It shows up like through your actions. So like when this call ends and you guys go about your day, and that's sadly, it's not something that's easily measured, but I think that that's definitely something that we all aspire and continue to focus on, right? Is not being able to self-regulate, not get affected by things that are around us, you know? And then last slide here. I got you, John. Like I was saying before, reallocating your time, adjusting things. I like a good metaphor and visual example. I don't know if you guys see a glass that's half full or half empty. It's your choice, right? So I will unshare my screen here, and I'd love to talk a little bit further. It could be about essentially anything, but questions, comments, things kind of related to the presentation or yourselves specifically. I will call on people.
I guess you can. I'll just touch on what I was reaching out to you about just, last week, the week before, just coming off of not feeling like yourself, and it being easy to kind of ruminate or talk yourself out of just doing that one thing, whether it's just getting up on time and getting to the gym and doing what you can do, right? Because I kind of like an all or nothing, right? So if it's like I get up a little bit later, okay, I don't have time for my whole workout. So you know what? I think we're kind of writing it off today, right? So being able to pivot when that comes around, or have some measures in place to focus on, right, when that comes up.
Totally. Like an example that I bring up often and I think about often is this is like a layer before an injury when it comes to just what you were talking about, Mike, like with if you get sick for a couple of days or feel like you kind of get knocked out of your rhythm, right? Holidays is another really good example. So some people, like, we're creatures of habit, you know? We get up, we try to get up at the same time, train at the same times, keep to our rhythm, you know? And when the holidays come around, throw it at the wall for a lot of people, right? But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but it's an example of, and it's something that it's a specific date. It's out in front of you. You know exactly when it's going to be, and it's probably going to change your schedule. And there's a good chance it might invite some stress in your life. Sounds a lot like similar to an injury to me, you know? So that comes down to knowing yourself well, communicating well, and then adjusting and setting the plan accordingly, right? So if people are traveling, whatever the current focus is as far as goals, setting the expectation, and then like you're fully ready for the rocky terrain because you know it's coming. You've already planned for it, you know? And I look at that just as like seasons of life, and I guarantee everybody on this call has probably got half a dozen to a dozen injuries in their past before, right? And each time you kind of, if you were to reflect on when that experience happened to now, I would imagine all of us mentally to some extent probably shake things off maybe a little bit faster, but every time that it happens, typically you should get a little bit better at it. But you got to be mindful. You got to be actually assertive in setting a plan for it, you know? And if you know that you're somebody that gets frustrated or agitated by particular things, then you got to plan a little bit more based on the specific dates, if it's holidays or whatever the thing is, right? So, yeah. And when you're in the heat of the storm, like accept that opportunity and smile. That's it. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for sharing. Anybody else? Questions on mindset, limiting beliefs, thoughts, injuries. Let me ask you guys this. Do you guys ever feel like you get caught up in that loop of what I shared as far as limitations, helplessness, frustration? Head nod, thumbs. Yeah. Yeah. Someone tell me more. Someone tell
I
me
think
something more specific.
I used to, but I've just got the attitude that I've overcome a lot of injuries. And it's just like I just put in the work and I treat it like a job.
Yeah.
And I have to celebrate the small increases because things don't come back quickly. So notice the little things and say that that's fine. I did something.
Have you always had that expectation, John?
I had a bad back injury maybe 30 years ago, and too many years ago I couldn't do anything because of it. I wish I had discovered CrossFit or other things a lot earlier than what I did. But I think in the last 6 years I've been more than
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for sharing. That's what I mean, right? Like notches on your belt. Nobody, John wouldn't choose to have like a significant back injury. I wouldn't have chosen to have my leg broken, but there's definitely on the other side of things, sorry, I hear my son in the background just having the time of his life. But yeah. The irony of the whole thing is a lot of it you wouldn't choose, but the more times that you're like, oh, I've seen this before. And that's what I mean. You just gotta smile and I wish that I could extrapolate and like export the PDF of something that comes to like tangibly grabbing mindset so that everybody could pursue it the same way that you pursue like bench pressing 185 or whatever the thing is, right? But that's as close, at least for this call, as I can get, man. Like you got to be able to accept some of that stuff and keep moving forward, right? But John, that was another good example. Thanks.
I was going to say too, just mindset, just in general too. I find I kind of have a not negative, but I could just say negative for lack of better words. Even, say work, work's going well. You got a lot of responsibilities, you're in a good position, but it just feels like it could, you're just kind of going about logging days and thinking about, hey, is this something I want to keep doing? And then you start thinking about some other stuff and you can kind of get into that loop about the same thing, but in a different regard, right?
Yeah,
You were
totally.
telling me about a job or something too. One time we had to, you had to focus on like tactile feelings that get yourself through it, right? So.
Totally. Yeah. I might have shared this with the rest of you guys, but I might not have when I was having a conversation with Mike and talking about kind of getting yourself out of maybe like a little bit of a funk or whatever the thing is, right? So oftentimes to change our state, the thing that we most often lean into is training, right? Jump on an assault bike, run up a hill, get your heart rate up, break a sweat, anything kind of in between. Something is better than nothing for sure. Sitting and ruminating is the absolute enemy, right? So whatever it is, do something. But the example that I shared with Mike before was that all comes back down to shifting your senses, and we don't always have the ability to change our environment, go outside, sit in a meditative pose and box breathe or journal gratitude in that moment or whatever the thing is. But one thing that served me well when I was working a particular job that didn't light me up. This was before Muscle Intelligence, and I was anticipating my workday. It already been, I think I probably trained 6 or 8 people early in the morning, and I had to go right from that to like a full late into the evening shift. So I'm kind of hurting and struggling and I'm tired and I'm going into this shift and I can already hear myself ruminating and kind of all the thoughts and thinking of like, yeah, this person's going to be here and I'm going to have to navigate that and like whatever the thing is, like all the stuff that all of us have to deal with in one version or another, right? And I was able to recognize it, and I actually got this from Ben, so I'm giving Ben credit once again. So this is one of, can't remember which podcast it was, but it was from one of his podcasts. He was talking about shifting your senses and going into a building with fluorescent lights and all the things. Like I said, it's not a stress-free environment. So what I focused on, what I was able to do to be able to get out of my ruminating and into my body in some capacity. Can't just do burpees while I'm at work, right? Like I talking to people, if I just start dropping down and doing burpees, people are going to look at me funny. So I would focus on the pressure of pushing my finger into my thumb, and I would literally go down the line and I would push index finger, middle finger, ring finger, pinky, or sometimes I would even focus on the sensation of like the ridges of my fingerprint. And like that level of detail that got me out of here and in right here, you know? And I physically felt better. You know, when you just thinking about something that either agitates you or makes you angry or anxious or frustrated and you're spending too much time on it, how your body like physically feels like stiff or achy or weak. You know what that how that feels? Yeah. Just me. Paul's giving me the straight face right now. Yeah, no, cool. Yeah, everybody agrees. So, but that was just one tip or trick that I was able to use. And so, if you're somebody that kind of leans to that way, like in maybe that version works for you, but like you got to find what that is for you, right? Yeah. I'll kind of leave it at that. We've got 5 minutes if there is time for anything, if you guys got questions. It could be related to this stuff. It could be re related to something else at this point if you want. But if you guys are feeling good, you guys let me know. Any other questions? Was any of that helpful? Yeah. If nothing else, maybe a good reminder for certain things. It's not if, it's when, right? Like, yeah, we're gonna do everything in our absolute power to never get injured again. But chances are something's probably gonna come up. Hopefully it's nothing significant, but when it does, how quick are you able to hit the refresh button, so to speak, on your web browser and move to the next thing or navigate through it and be smart. Be effective, prioritize your recovery, prioritize your headspace, If your headspace is historically been the toughest thing to manage, that's probably your biggest opportunity, you know? And the best part about it is you're not by yourself in this, right? So, I'll speak for myself and all the guys when it comes to mindset or kind of talking through anything particular. We don't know what we don't know. So you guys got to bring it up and share it. And for all of my guys that are on here right now, like, you guys do a good job of that. So I appreciate it. So that should be the standard for anybody watching. And John, it sounds like your recovery is going rock solid as well, and you're doing well. So that's great. Cool. Well, boys, anything else? One final call before we wrap. Everybody's good? Sweet. Well, enjoy the rest of your actually, last thing. I just for the sake of the recording, I just now kind of realized that if Robert is not on the call, I'm gonna answer his question real quick. So just very quickly, and this will tie back into you guys as well too, right? So when his question was relating to comparison between discomfort and legitimate pain for an injury, and as it relates to him, it was a back injury, right? One of the first things that's smart to do, and you guys have all done this, is film the exercise, right? Like, if you're scared about going too low in a back squat or a hack squat or whatever the thing is, specific to the low back, find a way to stabilize the spine, find a way to emulate that same movement pattern. So do a hack squat, do something that's stable, that's still safe, that puts you in a good position and gets you comfortable in learning the skill of being in that bottom position safely, right? The ultimate progression, and I wish Robert was on the call here to kind of attest for this for himself, but when he came in, like, it was a legitimate concern for him with herniated discs and all the things, right? Which is a fair thing to be reserved and concerned about. And the dude's a rock star now when it comes to squatting and everything else. So to chip away at any type of limiting belief when it comes to a certain exercise, first thing to get out of your head, film it, right? You might think you move a particular way. All of us might think we play basketball like Michael Jordan, and then we see ourselves on film and it's like, okay, there's a few things that I could focus on here and get a little bit better at, right? Yeah, film it so that you're able to see it and really dissect it and go through it and then get the green light from your coach as well, right? So, and then it honestly, it's going to continue to come down to reps. Reps, be hyper focused on the tempo of whatever the exercise is, and create in the beginning. Oh my goodness, look at this. As I'm sure his ears were burning, now he's coming into the call. He might have had a time change or something like that. I'm not sure. He might have thought it started an hour later. Oh man. Robert, what's up, brother? I won't keep the rest of you guys if anybody has to jet or anything like that. How you doing, brother?
Did I just miss the whole thing?
You did. And I was
I let that
talking I was talking about your example right as you popped on. I was like, his ears must be burning. So
Sorry, daylight savings got the better of me. I'm an hour out in my time zone.
yeah, no worries, brother. For the sake of, if like watching anything to do with the recording, very quickly, I was in the middle of just explaining it right now, but talking specifically about the back injury, film it. That is going to be the first thing, right? So any type of limiting belief or things to do with stuff like that, film the exercise so that you can get out of your head about it and you're able to see it visually out in front of you, right? Like, you've done a good job of that. I was sharing before, like, from when we first started to now, do you remember how maybe like concerned you were in the beginning when we were talking about it compared to how you feel now?
Yeah, total difference.
What's been the difference?
Think rebuilding confidence in it that I'd almost written it off as an exercise I couldn't do, and slowly rebuilding confidence with form, building the stability with other exercises, like, building strength with Romanian deadlifts and Bulgarian split squats, and then building back into back squats and deadlifts, slow, controlled, lower weights, and going, oh, I can do this. Like, it doesn't, and then incrementally building it back up.
Yeah. So you totally just summarized what I was talking about when it comes to, in your example, concern related to the low back. So exercise selection wise, don't load the spine. Focus on emulating a similar movement pattern. Tempo, pause in the bottom where we don't feel super confident and comfortable. Reinforce feeling confidence. The more times we do it, get stronger, more stable. And then, the world's your oyster as far as continuing to graduate complexities. And split squats are going to be a great exercise until the cows come home for 99% of people, unless you got something real specific going on. You know what I mean? So, but that same example can apply to any injury. You got to be able to include stability, focus, and then move from there, man. So, I do have to, Rob, I wish I could stay on longer, man. I wish I could stay. I feel like just started.
I'll watch the replay.
Yeah. But anyway, I appreciate you guys staying on. Rob, catch the replay, brother. If there's anything that comes from it, message me. John, great to see you, man. You guys have a great rest of your week. And yeah, it's good to see you all.